Our scripture reading this morning will come from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll begin with verse 7 and read through verse 18. The 10th chapter of the second book of Corinthians. That's found on page 969 if you're using the Pew Bible. Second Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with the 7th verse. Hear now the word of our Lord. Look at what is before your eyes. If anyone is confident that he is Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so also are we. For even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be ashamed. I do not want to appear to be frightening you with my letters. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech of no account. Let such a person understand that what we say by letter when absent, we do when present. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but we will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us, to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. We were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond the limit in the labor of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you, without boasting of work already done in other areas of influence. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Thus we've read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7 through 18. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, this is your word. You have given it to us. Teach us so that we might see you more clearly. Be with the explanation and proclamation of your word, Lord. Bless it and guide it so that your people would be edified and that your name would be lifted up on high. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Paul here is continuing to defend his ministry as an apostle and defend his ministry among the people at Corinth and his actions in the past, because they have clearly come under attack by people who have come to Corinth in his absence. He will go on to call these people super apostles in chapter 11, verse 5, because they're building themselves up as greater than Paul and greater than all these people, and so he mockingly calls them super apostles. He's still defending his ministry against their attacks. And he uses this phrase at the end of chapter 10. He says in verse 17, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. What exactly does that mean, to boast in the Lord? I think that Paul gives us in these verses of chapter 10 a picture of what it is not, as well as a picture of what it is. That we can see several things that Paul says, this is boasting in yourself and not boasting in the Lord, and it is not to be done. He does start with what it is not. And it is not boasting ultimately in your physical looks. It's not boasting in physical appearance. It's not boasting in physicalities at all. Notice it says in verse 10, one of the complaints that they had about him, his letters are weighty and strong, but he is weak. He's small. Obviously, Paul's bodily appearance, whatever he looked like, he was not a giant hulk of a man. They're saying he may talk a big game, but you've seen him. You've seen him. He looks like nothing. He can't follow up. His bodily presence is weak. It's to be understood that they're obviously contrasting his physical appearance with their own physical appearance. Put it side by side, and which one would you rather follow? That old, scrawny man or me? This young, healthy man or whoever it might be? They're clearly contrasting a physical appearance and saying, this is how we pick who we follow, by how good they look. Paul says, no, I don't do that. I'm not boasting in my appearance, not in any way whatsoever. He's also not boasting in his natural abilities. Boasting in the Lord is not boasting in your strengths. Because it goes on to say, not only his bodily presence, but his speech of no account. Paul was not a classically trained orator. There were many who were among the Greeks who had spent years stuttering rhetoric, and they knew how to weave together a great and beautiful speech. And it was no small thing in the ancient world, especially among the Greeks, to be able to speak well and to give a good talk. They had ways to judge people's speeches. They could say, oh, that was very good, but he messed up here and he messed up here. He didn't follow the form, or he was not doing so well in the middle of his speech. He lost the image, or whatever it might be. And Paul says, no, I don't come to you speaking in the way that the professional speakers speak. It's not the power of his voice. It's not the skill of his speech. He says, those are not the things that I boast in. It's also not comparing himself against somebody else. Boasting in the Lord does not look like people who line each other up and say, well, I'm better than him here and here and here. Which is obviously something that these super apostles are doing. Verse 12 says, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they're without understanding. Paul here speaks with great sarcasm. Not that I would dare put myself in a lineup with those great men who have commended themselves. They have a list a mile long, and they're more than happy to show it to you of how great they are and how they have been recommended by this person and how they have more converts than that other guy down the street. They've kept a chart, and they can really tell you how great they are. All you have to do is listen to them. They clearly are boasting in themselves and comparing themselves with one another. There has grown up this competition among these false teachers, among these super apostles, about who can make themselves look the best. Well, I was in Corinth, and the other day I gave a sermon and three people came forward. And somebody else would come along and say, no, the other day I had five. And somebody else might come on, and you may have done that in Corinth, but I did it in Athens. Even harder. That makes me even a greater apostle than you. It's a sad picture of what's going on in the church. That people are coming and being listened to by the church of Corinth, who boast and compare and try to run someone else down in order to build themselves up. And Paul says, that's not what I'm doing. I am not going to put myself side by side with those great men. But when they compare themselves and when they do that, it's without understanding. They don't understand the gospel at all. They're proving by the very fact that they're willing to run each other down and to try to judge each other on their own deeds and their own works, they've already shown they fundamentally misunderstand the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For who is it that really saves? Is it the speaker? No, the answer is it's Christ who saves. It's not the minister. It's not the apostle. No, it's the Lord God who saves souls. Paul tells us elsewhere, and we can see from his heart, that he wouldn't care if it was Peter who saved a soul or whether it was John who saved somebody. He wouldn't care who it was to deliver the message that converted people. All he cares about is that people are converted. He's not keeping track. He's not keeping score. He just wants people in the kingdom. He wants people to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this competition that these people have, this comparing themselves with one another, it's a foolish thing to do. To do it is to be without understanding. If we're honest, it's a great temptation that we still have today, that where we could put people side by side and say, well, that person has a bigger church, or this person makes more money, or this person is better in some other way. We love comparing people side by side and deciding which one is best. Paul tells us that's a problem when we do that. Not just with those who wish to be ministers, but at all. It's foolish and without understanding to judge ourselves by measuring ourselves against other people. Other people are not the standard. The Lord God is. Ultimately, boasting in the Lord then is not a way to commend ourselves and to raise ourselves up. Boasting in the Lord is never to be seen as a way to put myself forward and to make myself look better in your eyes. That's not boasting in the Lord, that's boasting in oneself. If the ultimate end and goal of what I am doing is to say, look at me, then it's not boasting in the Lord at all. It's boasting in the flesh. Boasting in the Lord is not a phrase to be used for anything and everything. Paul uses here for a specific purpose. He says he's not going to go outside his area of influence. He's not going to go outside what the Lord has given to him. But he will boast in the Lord and what has been given to him. For ultimately, boasting in the Lord is pointing people to Jesus Christ. Pointing people away from ourselves, away from our own works, and to the work of God. To the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because boasting in the Lord starts with acknowledging God's authority. Notice here verse 8, "For even if I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave for building you up and not for destroying you, I won't be ashamed." He says ultimately this authority that has been given to Paul has been given to Paul by God. It's not something Paul took for himself. It's not something that somebody wrote a letter and said, "Here, this is yours." No, this was given to him by Christ Jesus on the road to Damascus. This was recognized by the church, and he was separated by laying on the hands so that he could go out and do the work of a missionary authorized by the church, authorized by God Himself. Paul's not trying to grab authority that doesn't belong to him. This is recognizing that God has all authority and has given this to Paul. Paul is an apostle because he was called by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because he looked better than everybody else. Not because he was a great speaker. Not because of his overwhelming physical presence. Not because of his heritage. Not because he was a son of Benjamin. Not because of any of those things. But because the Lord called him and said, Paul, I'm going to use you to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul goes on to say in verse 13, but we will not boast beyond limits, but we will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. Again, recognizing God assigned it to us. He was following the call of the Lord. He was following the work of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to Corinth, and he stayed there for a year, and it was not his great work, but Christ's that created the church in Corinth, that saved the people there who heard the message. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who did such a thing. It's God who's in charge. He says, we don't boast beyond the limit of our labors and the limit of the labor of others, but our hope is that your faith increases, our area of influence will increase, and among you may be greatly enlarged so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. This boasting in the Lord is not just acknowledging God's authority and God's call, but also the work of God in salvation. The hope of growth of His kingdom and the salvation of many others. He says, no, the goal is so that you will be saved and that you will grow, and then we can go to other churches beyond you and we can continue to preach the gospel. And that more people can be saved. Not just in Corinth, but in other places. And that Corinth will become not a church that receives apostles, but one that can send out missionaries. So that other areas can be reached. It's founded upon the hope of the grace of the gospel in Jesus Christ. He's there to preach the gospel. That's His call. That's the authority that God gave to Him. And no matter what the super apostles pull out, no matter how many letters they say, look, here's a great letter about what are my great work in this other city, in this other place, in this other town. It's only Paul who can say, the Lord Jesus Christ told me, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles, and said for you me to go preach the gospel. And the super apostles are there, and they're there ultimately to live off the church, to boast in themselves. Paul is there simply so that people will be converted, so that he can go and convert others, so that others can be saved. Again, he says this authority in verse 8, which the Lord gave for building you up, not for destroying you. This is the contrast he wants you to see with the false apostles. I'm here to build you up so that you can be saved, so that the gospel can go in the lands beyond you. I'm here so that your faith will increase. I'm here to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These others are here ultimately to destroy you. They're not here to preach the gospel. They're here to reap the rewards of being important. They're here to drain you dry. They're here to point to their own works and to teach you to go to works and to judge things by your works, as opposed to judge things and to look to Jesus Christ. That's what boasting in the Lord is. When he says, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord, he is saying, let them point to the Lord Jesus Christ. If they want to build something up, let them point to Jesus. You can be built up in Him. If they build themselves up, if they build anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ up, then they're here for your destruction. Then they preach another gospel. Boasting in the Lord is pointing to the Lord Jesus and saying, look not to me, look to Him. Think of John the Baptist. A beautiful example, I think, of what Paul is describing here. John the Baptist was the first prophet in Israel in hundreds of years. And he was telling people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he was baptizing people for repentance in the River Jordan. And people were flocking from all of Israel to hear John the Baptist's words. If you're talking about how big a ministry was, or how big a congregation, or how successful someone was, John the Baptist was very successful. He had the ears of many people. He was baptizing thousands. It was so big and so monumental that even the Pharisees went out to see John the Baptist because they wanted to be seen as being part of this massive religious movement that John the Baptist was leading. So much so that he warns them when they come. Who warns you? You're here not because you believe the message. You're here because you want to be a part of the crowd. Because you want to be seen. But then, the Lord Jesus Christ comes up. And John the Baptist is quick to say, I'm not even worthy to untie your sandal. Shouldn't you baptize me? And Jesus says, to fill all righteousness, you baptize me. And he does. And from that moment on, John is saying, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He must increase and I must decrease. It's not about me. It's about Christ. He's boasting in the Lord. He says, this is the one whom I've been telling you about. Stop following me and start following Him. He sends disciples to Christ. He points and he says, go to Christ. Don't follow me. He was pointing people towards Jesus. He didn't build himself up. He's ultimately boasting in the Lord. This is the message that Paul says you should be looking for when someone is proclaiming something, boasting or bragging or speaking big of something. It needs to be the Lord and not themselves. It needs to be the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and not human works. It needs to be the power and the saving grace of our loving Father in heaven. Not of their own abilities, their own looks, whatever else the super apostles are pointing to. No, boasting in the Lord is pointing away from ourselves and pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Which should tell us that first and foremost, pride is incompatible with boasting in the Lord. When we have a prideful attitude, we want to build ourselves up. Prideful attitude is unable to do what John the Baptist did when he says, he must increase and I must decrease. Is unable to point away from them ourselves. That's what pride does. It makes all things revolve around us. It makes us view the world as if we are its very center. Paul says that's not the case. We must mortify the deeds of the flesh, which include pride. We ought to be about the business of boasting in the Lord. We ought to be telling others. We ought to be pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our job as Christians. We need to see that ultimately it's all about Christ. It's all about His work. Notice that when these people are attacking Paul in verse 10, when they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, his speech is of no account. Paul doesn't come back and say, I'm not that weak. I'm a really good speaker. He doesn't defend any of that. He says, so what? It's about Jesus. If I'm weak in bodily presence and my speech is no good, but Jesus Christ is proclaimed and He converts His people to Himself, then amen. I don't need to defend myself. Because it's all about Christ. It's all about His glory and not mine. If people are converted to the Lord Jesus Christ but think Paul's a bad speaker, that's fine. Because they've been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord ultimately who saves. He saves us. We don't save ourselves. It's not our works. We come to the Lord as guilty and polluted sinners. But it's His work. It's Him who kept the law. It's Him who never sinned. He is the Lamb without spot or blemish. And He willingly went to the cross to die on that cross for you, to die on that cross for me, so that we could be saved. Saved from our sins, saved from our deeds, so that we could have life everlasting. And now that we've been saved, it's not all of a sudden about our works again. No, it's still about God's grace. It's about His great salvation, the wondrous gift that He offers to you and to me in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us make that the center of our lives. Let us go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You for Your Son. We thank You for His work. We thank You for Your gift of salvation. And oh Lord, we ask that You would help us point not to ourselves, but to You and to Your Son, the Lord Jesus. That we would tell others about the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us live a life that's not about ourselves, but about our Savior. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.